Welcome to ESPN 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We have with us today Dagan Koffler. He is a contractor. DaganDesignConstruction.com, of course, is the website. Locally grown right here in North County, San Diego. I'm going to call him the holistic contractor, not only because he looks like he grows his fruits and vegetables in his backyard, very down-to-earth kind of guy, but also because he is going to has the ability of encapsulating the entire project. And we're going to break down and kind of explain what exactly that means. Dagan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Also with us, repeat offender, maybe as many as fifth-time repeat offender.
I think so.
Jim Lackey.
Backed by popular demand.
Yes, the demand has been unbelievable. He is our mortgage concierge, out-of-the-box financing solutions. All the financing out there that a bank can't do, this guy has access to it. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of financing, the predictions for Q1 2015 are that the interest rates are going to be 1% higher than they currently are, which, in fact, will reduce the percentage of buyers that we currently have in the market by about 15%, which isn't really the good thing. However, historically speaking, we have seen home values increase even if interest rates increase, which is controversy to what a lot of people believe. And I believe that's just the takeaway close. People feel home values are going up. They feel it's a good investment. They want to get in. Maybe they can't. So if they can't, you're the guy they reach out to. Tell us what's going on out there in the out-of-the-box kind of mortgage.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dave. So I would agree with you. I think the pundits have it correct. I mean, time will tell, but I think that's definitely what the trend is going to be. Banks today are a little difficult to deal with.
Dodd-Frank came out over a week ago, which is the new implementation of the restrictions.
Well, yeah, one of the provisions of Dodd-Frank was just implemented last Friday that has to do with qualified mortgages. And so it just makes it more difficult to secure a loan if you're a home buyer. I actually read an article in the New York Times 2 days ago. Earnings reports from Wells Fargo and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase, largest mortgage lenders in the world, and they're down, each of them is down in mortgage originations about 60%.
6-0.
6-0 year over year. So they have the capacity. They just don't really have the desire. So when things start going north, I believe they're going to have even less desire. And qualified home buyers that want to be able to get financing, those routes are not going to be as available to them. So, yeah, I like to look at those kinds of transactions because we can do them on a common sense basis, less so than what a big box bank would do.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to common sense, a lot of people are out there thinking, I'd like to take advantage of the market currently, and they're watching home values go up. In fact, there are some statistics that show home values went up about 19% in North County year over year last year.
19%?
Yeah, 19%. That's an unsustainable type of growth. Mm-hmm. It's just not sustainable. Incomes don't keep up with that. We're likely to appreciate even if interest rates go up. That's what all the predictions are. We're going to increase in value. So people are wanting that are sitting on the sidelines. And meanwhile, you know, the feds are promising that they're going to reduce their buying power by about $10 billion every time they meet, which is what, 7 meetings, and they'll be done. And after that, we're going to be, you know, back to normal, if you will, which is democracy and interest rates and banks competing for your business. With this Dodd-Frank, with all these new underwriting guidelines that are in place. So if you're out there thinking, I'd like to be a part of this market, then Jim Lackey is the guy to reach out and touch base. Is that right?
I would say that's true. And in particular, if you're one of these people that wants to take advantage of the market, but they've had some challenges to their credit over the last couple of years, maybe they had a short sale, maybe they had a foreclosure, everything else being good in their condition, the bank still isn't going to do a loan for that profile of borrower. These short sales and whatnot have to season as little as 2 years and oftentimes as much as 3 or 4 years before they can get financing. And so I can often help those situations as well.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Jim Lackey, Mortgage Concierge. His direct phone number is 858-699-2280 or jimlackeyassociates.com. Again, his direct phone number is 858-699-2280. With this increase in interest rate prediction, we're losing percentages of the buying power. For example, right now, interest rates went up to roughly 4.5%. We lost about 10% of our buyer pool. When interest rates go up, the debt-to-income ratios can't keep up. We're losing percentages of buyers. If we get to 6.5%, it's predicted that we're going to lose 64% of our current buyer pool.
Wow.
That's a significant hit to what's actually happening right now. And a lot of people think, well, geez, you know, if we lose that kind of buyer pool, home values are going to come down. That's not what's been predicted. What's been predicted is that home values are going to continue to go up.
We now have a question. I want to back up a little bit. You talked about the challenged borrower,
mm-hmm.
short sale, foreclosure, something like that on their credit report. And did you say 2 years is the penalty box waiting time?
Minimum 2 years, but it's really lender specific. And okay. So it depends on whether the loan that the client is applying for is a government insured loan or a GSE loan, Freddie or Fannie or FHA. If the bank is going to hold that loan on their books, so it's a portfolio loan, it's very lender specific. So without naming names and throwing any big box banks under the bus, so to speak, I know of one of the largest lenders in the world that has a 4-year penalty box, as you call it, for financing, for getting a new loan.
Well, I think the reason we're talking about this is because if you're in that penalty box, you may think that there aren't other options. But I think you're really here to say that there are.
Exactly.
There are. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing. You're filling the gap of, you know, all those people who don't fit within the box of the big bank, so to speak. Right.
And you may recall from a recent show that we did, a client who bought a house in North County, had a short sale on an investment property that was about a year and a half old, wanted to buy a new home, had plenty of cash to put down. Everything else on their credit history looked good. But they were basically excluded from the traditional market because of that short sale. So we did a private loan to get them into the house that they were very qualified to buy. And then once that short sale is seasoned, whether it's 2 years or 3 years or whatnot, then we'll help them get a traditional loan to be able to pay off our short-term private loan. But the end result is they were able to buy the home that they wanted to buy through an alternative financing program.
It kind of seems like a little bit of make sense lending. You know, if everything else makes sense, that's one little blemish, we're going to overlook that. And if it's your own money, which essentially it is in your case, you have the ability of doing that.
Yeah, sometimes my money, but more often than not, it's my investors'
yes,
money.
Yes, sure, but it's not Fannie or Freddie buying the loan.
Correct.
That's
exactly
what I'm
right.
saying.
Exactly right.
Yes, it's, of course, your investors. One more time, Jim Lackey, his website, jimlackeyassociates.com, jimlackeyassociates.com.
You know, one of the gaps that you've created that the banks created it, right? That, meaning if someone's out there wants to build a spec home,
mm-hmm.
then traditional financing, which the banks are not really all that happy to lend on,
right.
they want these builders to personally pledge their assets. So not only do they have to personally pledge them, which could be very risky, but they also have to be able to personally pledge them. So there's a whole lot of underwriting guidelines that take place. So there may be a real sweetheart of an opportunity for you to get out there and build real estate and profit from that. But the inability may come in play when you can't actually get that loan from the bank to do so.
Exactly right. Now, banks traditionally don't do spec for what they call for sale construction loans. They'll do them in certain instances to, you know, it's the old kind of adage that if you don't need the money, they'll lend it to you. And that's really the case with spec construction. If you have strong enough financially and you don't really need to borrow the money, they'll lend it to you because you have the ability, what they call secondary support, to repay the loan. In our world, we're less concerned about the overall financial strength of the builder or the borrower. We're going to use the property and the collateral, the equity in the property that secures our loan. I just, last Friday, in fact, just closed a loan to finish construction of two spec homes out by San Diego State. Very good investment for my investor, a nice return to him, and it gives the buyer an opportunity to get the money he needs to finish these houses and sell them and make his profit on the back end. That would not have been a bankable deal ever.
So you've got a, you came along, there was a builder that was 80% done, which isn't sellable, and you were able to essentially refinance them in order to finish the job and get that product to the market.
Well, in this case, he was probably more like 25% done and thought he was going to be able to get bank financing, and through a confluence of events that I won't go into too much detail on, it left him basically without a source of financing. So his project had the risk of just being stalled and stopping and losing subcontractors, and you know, who knows if we ever get some rain, the lumber gets rained on. We did come along, and in very short order, by the way. The other benefit of privately financed projects is that we can be very nimble. We had that loan essentially committed and closed within about 2 to 3 weeks. You wouldn't even be through the front door at the bank in that amount of time, typically.
We're talking with Jim Lackey. His website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's the website, jimlackeyassociates.com. When we come back, we're going to hear from Dagan Koffler, the holistic contractor, ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We just heard from Jim Lackey. He is our resident mortgage concierge. One more time, his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's the website, jimlackeyassociates.com. Going to shift gears now and talk a little bit about construction. And we're on with Dagan Koffler, locally grown right here in North County, San Diego, and really prides himself on having the ability to oversee the entire project, and not just oversee it, but kind of dabbles in all the aspects of that, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
How does that work?
It's project specific, but it can be anything from I will do plans for people, hand drawn plans, to design, to you know, just creating what they're looking for. A lot of homeowners, you know, look on websites like Houzz, and they're looking at different you know websites of things that they want in their home, but they don't really know how to make that come to fruition.
Sure.
So they come to me, they say, you know, without hiring a, you know, expensive architect to make this dream come true, what are our options for making this dream come true, you know, with just using you? So I go through the options, and usually we can come up with a handful of solutions that solve all those problems within their price point, get creative, and kind of go from there.
So my wife loves to get these home magazines, and she'll cut out rooms. She likes this dresser and this kitchen and this backyard. And I got into the shoebox of magazine clippings that she continues to put in front of my face. It's almost like she's mocking me. Yeah, she's mocking me, and she adds another one to the shoebox.
Right.
So I can walk into your office with my shoebox of my wife's dreams, and you're going to be able to weave this into reality.
That's the idea, yeah.
That's the idea.
You give me a space, a floor plan. You give me the pictures you're looking at, how you want, you know, how your house needs to function for you, your family, kids, whatever, and that's sort of what I can do for you. You know, I'm good at making things functional and attractive. So you give me a picture, and I can say, well, it's not that really doesn't do that much for your family. Like, why don't we, you know, build it out a little bit, get some storage in there? You'll still get the same front, but you also have some functionality to this now. Things of that nature.
You certainly do work with architects, and that certainly is some, and interior designers. But
yeah.
I think really what you bring to the table is in instances they're not necessary. I mean, you're able to provide those functions, and obviously it's project scope specific.
Yeah.
You know, if it ends up being an enormous project, an architect dedicated to that may be what makes the most sense.
Right.
But for some of these, I guess you're talking about remodeling jobs, it may not be necessary. You can actually fill those roles.
Yeah. You know, projects are all over the map. You know, you get a big project, you're definitely probably going to need an architect. A lot of times people want an interior designer just to have the option to, you know, bounce ideas off of them. So there's always a need for them. But, you know, on smaller scale projects, if it's just a house remodel, you know, if people aren't in a huge hurry, if it doesn't have to be immediate, there's a lot of flexibility, and I can provide that sort of flexibility.
So a homeowner doesn't necessarily need to go out and hire and pay for a separate architect and a interior designer or other of the affiliate trades. You can provide not only that service, but also the know-how to walk them through that process. And you mentioned something that you do the plans as well.
Yeah, if it's something that's small, I'll either do them myself. And I don't use any computer program. I'm still a hand drawer.
Wow,
but
I can
just use a draftsperson.
Hand... Wow.
Most things, unless it needs, you know, engineering calcs, you can call that stuff out and the cities are okay with it. You know, there's just, it's project by project, but if you have sort of the knowledge of how it all works, you can walk them through it and possibly save some homeowners some money.
Now, when we had you build a home for us, what we found was that you were on site a lot more often. And that's the resounding appreciation that we get from the clients that we refer business to you, say, is that you got more of a personal touch. Now, is that just something you decided to do because that's the way you want to do business? Or is it something that's been working for you ever since you got into this business?
It's kind of both. It's just kind of a personal thing. I don't really be able to release the job and kind of, you know, let it go. I don't really have that mind frame because I'm a little...
Micromanaging?
No, just a little bit more perfectionist. You know, when the subs are on day, I kind of want to see what they're doing. I trust all of them, but at the end of the day, if something's gone wrong and they're already off on another job, then it's hard to get them to come back. So I just like to do things right the first time and move on from there. So being on site a lot helps. And with a more intimate relationship with homeowners, they're constantly texting and saying, I want to change this and this. So, you know, with a bigger company, it's hard to get to the person that's actually going to be able to make that change where, you know, I'm immediate, you know.
We're talking with Dagan Koffler, his website, DaganDesignConstruction.com. That's his website, DaganDesignConstruction.com. And you'd mentioned, you know, you're on site there, and I would say perfectionism or perfectionist is a good characteristic to have in your contractor. Frankly, if I was to choose one, that's one of the ones that I'd want the most.
Yeah.
You kind of show on here you're doing 8 to 10 projects a year is kind of what you're looking at, which allows you the ability of being there. And in all reality, that's what people are paying you for, is to oversee. I mean, of course, your mind to conceptualize what it should be, but then to translate that into reality is really the on-site stuff.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, a lot of people, when they first interview a contractor, they always ask, are you actually going to be here? Is someone else going to be here? Who's going to be my contact person?
I mean, because people will hire a general contractor and poof, they're gone until it's time to pay up. And, you know, they've got all the subs out there doing it. You know, the way that I really see you, Deegan, is really a finished contractor with the experience of doing all the rest. So you get your hands in there, you do all the rest, but at the same time, you're there as a finishing contractor to make sure that the project is done right and with quality so that it outlasts
right.
The homeowner.
Yeah, it's not that I haven't done the nitty-gritty stuff. You know, I've framed houses before. I've even had to do my own plumbing and electrical. It's more the knowledge where when we're on site, I can just tell them this is what's going to need to happen in this area. I'm going to have a sub probably do it, but I don't have to go and research and think about it and come back and say like, oh, well, I found out, you know, X, Y, and Z, so now we're looking at this much money. Like, I know offhand, so I can give them a much more accurate scope of work when I'm on site. So I think there's just a lot of advantages in that. But you're absolutely right. Like, I'm more of a finished contractor. I like to give them the whole scope. And, you know, most people only want the pretty stuff anyway. They don't really care what's underneath. So, you know, I always say, like, my most important guy is my painter. Even though everyone thinks they can paint, that's the only thing you hear about complaints is your paint.
Really?
Yeah, it's mainly paint.
Mainly
if
paint.
There's a crack in drywall or paint's not looking good, that's mainly what you hear about. So hire a really good painter.
You know, Ryan and I are in and out of houses all the time, and certainly forming our opinion on the homes that we prefer, the styles that we prefer, and we're seeing the trends. You know, certain mm-hmm. styles are outliving others, or, you know, they come and go as fads come and go. Do you have a particular style of home that you like?
You know, I can work with anything, but yeah, I use a lot of woods. I'm much more of a craftsman as far as I use tons of wood. I'm a woodworker. I can build furniture, that kind of stuff. So I like to incorporate natural wood. So craftsman style homes, I'm usually a little bit more drawn towards. But I love all the new modern stuff that are incorporating, you know, reclaimed wood, or a lot of people are using OSB now for, you know, design purposes. It really runs the gamut. You just go with it, and hopefully you're not using the thing that's going to be out of the fad in 2 years. I try to make things timeless in a sense.
Well, you know, I mean, you can look around. There's a lot of timeless craftsman-style homes, and Craftsman is great.
Yeah.
It's one of my personal favorites. You know, there's Hacienda, the Spanish style. We've got, you know, the modern style, which, you know, it seems to be a trend where a lot of people have people build these modern sort of mausoleums, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and certainly there's a place for all of that because, you know, diversity is nice to have. But I agree with you. Craftsman style is a timeless piece.
You mentioned you're doing something modern right now. Didn't you say you were doing some modern design for somebody?
Yeah, I have a little project in Encinitas, which is, I don't even know if I'd call it modern. It's just more very clean lined. I mean, they're using subway tile throughout all the bathrooms. It's just a very clean house. I mean, they don't want any hardware. It's just very sleek and clean. But they're kind of using materials that lend themselves to probably last longer and be a little bit more timeless. Yeah, but I do all kinds of stuff. I'm building a very modern armoire right now as well, which, you know, is based off like Scandinavian Dutch design. So, you know, it's all over the place.
So, Dagan, if you're doing a home that somebody – for a homeowner and they want it to be modern and mid-century or whatever it is, you can do whatever it is that they want. If you were going to build a spec house, you would probably build it more for the masses to have a larger pool of buyers.
Sure.
Because when you get specific architecturally, you kind of narrow the field of potential buyers.
Absolutely.
Right? So somebody wants to build it for themselves, you build whatever it is that kind of fits their eye.
Well, right. I have a question along those lines. Is the bank going to have a say-so in the overall design of a spec home?
Not really. No, the banks and lenders are really just, they're more just about the numbers.
So they're looking analytically at the project, not so much as, well, we think the trend is going this way, and therefore we're either going to like this project or not.
I would say the lenders, whether they're banks or whether they're private parties, are fairly agnostic as it relates to the style of a home. They're looking at what it's going to cost to build, how much the borrower has in cash in the deal, what it's going to be worth when it's done, as opposed to is it a Tudor, is it a Craftsman, is it a whatever. It's just numbers from a lender's perspective.
Square footage and right. how much it's worth at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Dagan, with regards to your clients, are most of them getting loans or are most of them cash? I mean, where?
Predominantly, they're all cash. Almost everything I've done is cash. I would assume if you're doing a larger scope or you're doing larger additions, there might be some financing involved. You know, the clients that I'm usually working with, it's interior remodel. Sometimes it's a small addition off the back or something of that nature. And usually it's something that they've probably saved up for and they pay cash with. But yeah, I mean, there's a great correlation here. And I think that, you know, if someone has a little bit more grandiose ideas of their dream home, but doesn't have the wallet for it, but could finance that, you know, it might be there's a good correlation there.
Well, I know you live and try to keep your focus here in North County coastal, but you go everywhere. I mean, we're actually looking at one down in South Park there on 31st Street here about a week and a half ago. So seeing that you're in that, let's say, Encinitas area, that kind of tends to have a beachy, cottage, surfery theme to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I get a lot of that. Everyone wants that sort of whitewash beach look. You know, a lot of people I go into, that's like their first imagery is they want it to be sort of maritime themed. You know,
that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. We're talking with Dagan Koffler. I'm going to call him the holistic contractor. His website, Dagan Design Construction, DaganDesignConstruction.com. When we come back, we're going to hear a couple additional, even more out of the box financing solutions that Jim Lackey has for us ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. You're just tuning in. We've been speaking with Dagan Koffler. His website, Dagan Design Construction. That's the website, DaganDesignConstruction.com.
You know, Jim, we talked a little bit about some of this financing, out-of-the-box type of financing that you're working with. And, you know, there are just so many examples that come up. You know, for example, a lot of the banks have these restrictions where they say a home buyer on a purchase loan can only own four pieces of real estate, have four mortgages, and you don't have that kind of underwriting restriction.
Correct. I mean, I'm still going to look at the borrower and their, you know, their character, their integrity, the quality of the credit, et cetera, but I don't have any kind of an artificial limit imposed upon me. If I'm comfortable with the overall scenario, it's back to the comment of the concept of common sense lending. If I'm comfortable with the borrower and his liquidity and his cash flow and all of the above, then I can make a decision irrespective of whether this is his fifth investment property or his 10th or 20th investment property.
Okay, so the millennials, the younger generation, of buyers that are moving into the marketplace, they're actually making the decision right now overall to rent first, mainly because it just costs too much money to own property these days. In fact, some of the areas that we work in, Solana Beach, for example, only 7% of the buyers in the in this San Diego community can afford to live in such an area. Well, as the millennials are renting property, it becomes very attractive for these investors to pick up these different investment properties. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're seeing this influx of people wanting to buy property. We're seeing a lot of investors out there with cash. So you don't have some of the same restrictions that these other banks have regarding the number of properties people can have. You don't have some of the underwriting restrictions such as that have been recently imposed by Dodd-Frank regarding underwriting guidelines. You know, in fact, the underwriting guidelines have actually gotten tighter. The qualifying ratios that buyers have to go through to qualify for properties have gotten tighter.
Right.
And with this getting tighter, that's when your business begins to flourish because you're making up that gap.
That's correct. That's correct. I would say just a clarification, a lot of one of the determining factors in financing is what the money is going to be used for. So if I'm going to buy a house, it's considered a consumer purpose loan. And so I'm bound by similar underwriting requirements of regulations, state and federal regulations, and some of the repercussions, if you will, of Dodd-Frank. On the other hand, if it's investment property, or if the money is going to be used for a business purpose, like I want to buy a home and I want to rehab it and sell it, or I want to buy a piece of property and develop it and sell it, that's considered a business purpose loan. And in that scenario, I'm not bound by the same types of restrictions.
When we're talking about restrictions, let me dive into that a little bit more. There's a lot of people out there that are self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're writing a lot of things off. And they're the paperwork that they would submit to a bank is not necessarily going to show the debt-to-income ratio that the bank wants to see, but their cash flow mm-hmm. is a make-sense type of transaction.
Right.
So is this something – is this a client that you would be able to get a loan for?
Yeah, it would. I mean, I'm still required to demonstrate and prove that the borrower has sufficient cash flow to be able to service the debt. In a qualified mortgage, new legislation, qualified mortgage has a provision called ability to pay, ATP, cleverly called ATP, ability to pay. So I still have to determine that the borrower has the cash flow to do that, but I don't necessarily have to see it in the form of a tax return. I can look at bank statements that prove to me that there's enough cash flow, and I can use that number to compare to the other monthly obligations that they have and still meet the debt-to-income requirements to underwrite a consumer loan.
So I think what you're saying is that even if you have investors that have pledged to give money to borrowers who want to buy, this new ATP or this ability to repay is still something the government requires you to adhere to because they don't want us to go through the same kind of fluctuation that we had that may have caused some of this recession issue with all these bank-owned properties, all these short sale properties, all this hardship that people went through. You still have to underwrite your files, even if you're going to give the cash to the buyer, based on this ability to pay.
That's correct. That's correct. It's not the world of where I'm just going to lend on the asset and I say, well, I've got enough protective equity in this property. I'm going to lend on it whether they have the ability to pay or not. Those days are long gone. Probably not coming back anytime soon.
So if you're going to throw out the traditional underwriting guidelines to some extent without the caveat of this ability to pay clause and say, I've got the cash, I'm willing to loan to people, what does this cost?
You mean what's the interest rate, things of that nature?
Yeah. What's the downside?
Well, first of all, the private financing tends to be short term in nature. You know, nobody is going to willfully sign up for a 30-year mortgage at 9, 10, 11%. So it's typically going to be a short term type of a situation where, for example, the client that has the short sale that has a year to season before they can go back into the conventional market, they look at that as a way of saying, okay, well, it's going to cost more than a bank loan if I could get a bank loan. But it's for a short period of time. I'm only signing up for this higher cost loan, if you will, for 6, 8, 12, 18 months. And then that short sale in that example will have seasoned. I can go back into the conventional market and refinance. So the costs of the loan from an interest rate standpoint are higher than a bank, as they should be, quite frankly, because it's a private party that's putting up the money. The private party doesn't have the government to bail them out. It doesn't have a backstop. So they have to make sure that the return that they're getting is enough to move the needle to make it worth the risk associated with it. And then the fees that are involved in it are higher than a bank. For example, I'm an originator. My role is to be able to put the borrower and the lender together, and I charge a fee for doing that, much like a real estate agent would charge a listing commission or a selling commission. So pretty much exactly the same thing. Well, the sum of those two components is going to be higher than a bank. But the point is that this particular borrower at this moment in time isn't eligible. They're not bankable per se, but they may be in time. They may be in, as I say, of the course of time as the credit challenge seasons and becomes less of an issue to an institutional lender.
So if someone's in contract right now buying a sweetheart of a deal and the bank says, oh, sorry, we're not going to loan on you, then that's where you come in, where it makes sense because of the transaction. You can see this guy's on contract. He's going to make money. Houses in the neighborhood are selling for a couple $100,000 more than he's in contract for. It's been this short sale that's been dragging on. And, you know, it's going to sell for this great upside for this particular buyer. And, oh, the bank says, well, you're not lendable.
Exactly right. Happens every day.
And this is where you come in and you say, you know what? We got this. Mm-hmm. We're going to charge you more, but we're actually going to get you the deal.
That's the plan. It doesn't work all the time. You know, some situations are they're just a train wreck and they're irretrievable.
But if you want someone, if you want to run this by you, then the way to do that is to reach out and touch base. Give Jim Lackey a call directly at 858-699-2280 or just check him out on his website, jimlackeyassociates.com.
Now, it does seem that we're feeling a little bit of a stimulation in the marketplace. And I would imagine that comes along with a resurgence of building. They kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
And it does seem that the programs you have are uniquely set up for that builder who can't get money anywhere else, that he can go out and build his dream home or, as you mentioned, a spec home.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing an increase of, I guess, requests?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe? Yeah, absolutely. And it's not really geography specific. It's not just the coast. There are projects that are inland. The development projects are what the industry likes to call infill projects. So it might be a little project of 3, 4, 5, 6 homes, either detached homes or attached homes. You know, I'm looking at a project now in Pacific Beach where we just financed the construction of 3 individual spec homes. You're aware of this particular project. They're actually finished now. One of them is in escrow. The builder has property under contract across the street to do the same thing. I have another client that wants to build these 6 units. It's not going to be a bankable loan. They don't have enough financial strength to go to a bank and prove that their balance sheet is strong enough to provide that, what a bank calls secondary support to repay
sure.
the loan. So it, by definition, it's a private money deal, and I am seeing more and more of that.
You're able to lend money to those people out there who need the loan as opposed to those out there that don't.
Exactly.
Got it. I would expect that to be the case, and as we certainly do feel the market to be on a slight increase. You know, it's our prediction. We're looking at 4-6% appreciation this year, which is not drastically better than inflation, but, you know, it's something. Mm. And when that happens, more and more of these construction projects or infill projects, I would expect to happen. And I would imagine a guy like you will become of high demand.
Well, I sometimes feel like the homecoming queen, and everybody wants a date. So I'm happy to help wherever I can.
Go by address.
Wow. Homecoming queen.
Regarding, you know, the immigration reform, you know, there's a lot of immigrants coming into the country now. They're saying 68 billion potential new home buyers throughout the country. That's a significant number when it comes to the real estate impact. What are some of the underwriting guidelines for some of the immigrants that are coming in? Do they have to be American citizens?
Again, it kind of depends on what the money is going to be used for. If they're going to buy a lot of what I see are foreign investors, not buyers that want to live here, but they want to buy property. They have money outside the country. They're not citizens of the country. They're foreign nationals. They want to be able to buy a property for investment purposes. That's traditionally not the domain of a bank, but they are the domain of a private investor because, again, I can look at it from just a common sense standpoint. So I'm seeing more of that, as well.
Yeah, so when I speak of the $68 billion, what I'm talking about is the projected amount of money that they're going to be spending on construction, the immigrants that are coming in. So, you know, it's a big, big market that's showing up.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping it was dollars and not people, because that'd be a big number.
It is dollars.
We're talking with Jim Lackey. His website, jimlackeyassociates.com. That's his website, jimlackeyassociates.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about green building, some custom furniture, landscaping, more holistic contracting with Dagan Koffler ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Jim Lackey. He is our mortgage concierge. One more time, jimlackeyassociates.com.
You know, Ryan and I do a lot of prospecting in North County, and we come across deals every now and then that are not on the market but would sell. And that happens to be the sweet spot, because there is a market for the buyers that's not actually on the MLS. I mean, you can go to the internet. We all know about Zillow. We all know about Trulia, Realtor.com. You can get out there and look and do a lot of research, but you can't really replace what's going on the front line, setting homes and prices every day. The fact that we prospect as heavy as we do, we come across these properties that we incubate, right? There's properties that we interview to sell. The homeowner says, hey, we're not going to put it on the market for a couple months. Tell us what we need to do to get it on the market. These are the properties that are very high in demand, because you could cherry pick them. And here's a couple of examples. We've got the least expensive detached home in Carmel Valley right now, waiting for a buyer to identify themselves. When we find that buyer, we're going to be able to get them in that property, and they can buy this property without it actually being on the MLS. In fact, we've got two properties right now we've done that very thing with. So the least expensive three-bedroom, 1,700-square-foot property in Carmel Valley, we're estimating about $650,000. That is well below what the market value of that property should be. In fact, on the way over here, I was basically screaming at Ryan that he should buy this thing.
Single family detached. There's nothing else on the market right now in Carmel Valley under $700,000. Zero active as of yesterday. $629,000. This one's coming on. The number here, 858-876-7653. Go ahead and leave a message if you're interested.
Also, we're working with another property in Solana Beach. It is about 1,300 square feet. Is a two-bedroom, single-family house. We've sold these properties before. A lot of people have pushed this two-bedroom out to be a three-bedroom property, because you can certainly do that. This is in the Santas, which is east of the freeway. It's a great community to raise kids, great school district. We're looking at that property around $750,000 to $800,000. It may sound like a lot of money to some people, but that is a really good price for Solana Beach.
It's the least expensive detached home in Solana Beach. It is small. Two bedrooms is a small home. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac, nicely redone, not on the market yet. One more time, the number, 858-876-7653. Leave a message. We'll get you in to take a look at it.
There's an area that we like to call Lost Del Mar. It's that area in Del Mar that's actually behind the Whole Foods up there by the Flower Field Mall. I mean, if you live there, it's really not lost, but it's right next to Solana Beach. And this happens to be an area that we spill over a lot of. If you drive up toward the Loma Santa Fe Golf Course, there's a nice community over there. So what I'm trying to do is dial you in on where this is. This is a property that is really within driving distance of the Whole Foods new grocery store, really close access to Freeway 5, really close to the Loma Santa Fe Golf Course. This property we recently interviewed for. It's over 3,000 square feet, but under 3,500. It's on a half an acre. It's got it's in really good shape. It's got a three-car garage, plenty of off-street parking.
Also on a cul-de-sac, not on the market. It's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $1.3 million. One more time, if you're interested in getting a look at these before anybody else, the number here, 858-876-7653. Obviously, we're on the air. We're not going to answer your call. Just leave a message. We'll get you in to take a look.
Well, we've got about 15 to 20 properties that are like this. And we've just been able to talk about a couple, three, because we've got to move along here. But if you want the complete list, reach out, touch base with us. We'll get you in touch with a buyer's agent that can actually place you in one of these properties that are actually not on the market, but they'll consider viewing and selling it. Take us up on it, the challenge.
Let's talk about green building.
Yes.
You'd mentioned about repurposing, reusing. How has that played its role in your day-to-day life?
Just with remodels, I'm always just eyeing the whole house for anything of value that we can reuse anywhere. You know, it's one of the hard parts when I try to, like, demonstrate of building things right. You know, you're usually using better products. So when you go into a house that was built better, there's usually better products, and we can probably reuse those. When you're building sort of at the moderate level or low level, most of the products can't be reused. You know, they're good for one-time use, and they go to the landfill. So I'm always just scavenging a house for anything that's reusable, whether it just be a couple doors, you know, that have potential, or, you know, closet drawers, anything. You know, anything that might have lead glass or old frames, you know, interesting hardware, anything.
You had mentioned how you took someone's shower, internal shower apart, and then put it outside. Is that what you did?
Yeah, we demoed a bathroom. And the whole shower unit, the faucet, it was a shower tub combo. So it had a spigot for the tub, and then it also had a shower faucet head. But the whole unit was intact, so we cut it down from the crawl space. So we left, you know, about 2 inches of copper piping. And that's what's going to be used for their exterior shower. It's got this really kind of cool industrial look.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Well, you told me previously when we met that you end up getting a lot of your business comes from the furniture you make.
Yep.
You make a variety, and we talked about a lot of different joints and kind of nerded out with respect to all the woodworking stuff. But in the end, you have the ability of building in furniture or built-ins that are specific to that property. And it seems like a lot of what you do ends up building furniture, right?
Yeah, a lot of the time, even if it is starts as a remodel, most of the time when they either find out or they already knew that I built furniture, something's always incorporated. So they're like, oh, well, we're doing oak floors. Like, can we get a custom dining room table made? Sure. And I can match it exactly to whatever works for their kitchen, exactly for their bathroom. A lot of time I get calls to make furniture, and then when they find out that I'm a general contractor, they're like, well, if you can do this, why don't you help us with the rest of our projects? And so it kind of just, it's just that spiral effect, or, you know, one job leads to 12 usually.
One job leads to 12.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Everybody's wife has that shoebox worth of clippings, apparently.
Yeah, as soon as you're done with this project, I got to show you the other project that we're going to start.
That's usually how it is. You know, they like that first thing, and they're like, well, if you can just make us that nice furniture, we've been thinking about doing our bathroom. What if you can incorporate something like that in our bathroom? And then, you know, the creative juices get going.
Well, you know, that says a lot about you, Deegan, that because if you're good, then they're going to want to keep you around. If you're not good, you're probably not going to get people coming to you and saying, hey, I've got this other project. Let's just continue this relationship and move on to the next project. If you're doing a great job, which sounds like you are, people are just naturally giving you more business.
Yeah, I mean, good work is not hard to see. I mean, you guys walk through houses a lot. You can usually tell, like, this was a well-made house or this was not a well-made house. It's not, you know, brain surgery. So, you know, when people ask for something and it gets done and they're like, wow, that's nice. Yeah, this is going to be good. You know, if they had other stuff on their mind, they're usually going to ask, and it just sort of spirals from there.
It kind of seems like it's an opportunity to take your contractor for a test drive.
In a sense, yeah.
Instead of signing up a, you know, $100,000 contract and the contractor not showing up the next day or being concerned about that happening, perhaps on some of these other projects you're demonstrating to your clients that you're the right guy and, you know, they become compelled to come back.
Yeah, not so many ways. It's kind of like it is a test drive. You know, I do a small project and then it, you know, sort of blows up into, like, we've been thinking about a remodel. Now we got a guy who can do it. We feel comfortable. We have the money to do it. So let's pull the trigger now.
So you can see some of his designs at his website, DeeganDesignConstruction.com. You can see past design stuff he's made, new projects he's working on are all there, DeeganDesignConstruction.com. You also go through landscaping is kind of whole picture, right?
Yeah.
You do that as well.
Yeah. And again, I try to incorporate North County. I'm a local guy. Water is a big deal in San Diego, so everything I try to do is low water, low maintenance, using, you know, local shrubberies, local species, cactus, succulents, that kind of thing. And get creative. You know, I use beach rocks a lot of time because we have an abundance of them here.
Yeah.
You know, boulders, things that, you know, play into more of our local landscape.
That makes sense. Do you have any particular favorite projects that you'd like to talk about, things that you really, really liked?
I did actually a house up in Sacramento where my brother lives. It was an old 1910 bungalow. We actually had to lift the house, redid the whole foundation, so that it was actually on cripple walls for 2 months while we redid everything. But it was a fun project of modernization along with keeping a, you know, timepiece in a sense. So we kept the old chimney even though it wasn't functional and it was brick, but we modernized everything. So it's a great house with a lot of cool old features.
One more time, talking with Dagan Koffler. His website, DaganDesignConstruction.com. That's the website, DaganDesignConstruction.com. Also with us today, our mortgage concierge, Jim Lackey, the out-of-the-box lender for all those out-of-the-box financing solutions, perhaps for challenge credit or construction loans, filling the gap of determining whatever it is the bank can't do. It's a pretty good chance he'll be able to do it. His website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. That's the website, JimLackeyAssociates.com. Stay tuned for next week.